of Canada Dealers present The Fred Allen Show.
The Fred Allen Show with Fred's guest, Dr. Rockwell. Fulton Hoffa, Minerva Pius, Peter Donald, Parker Fenley, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra.
And this is Alan McPhee speaking for Ford of Canada's 1,100 dealers from coast to coast. Every one of these dealers is in business to help you keep your car in top flight condition. That's why when you drive in at your Ford of Canada dealers, you put your car in the hands of skilled servicemen trained in Ford of Canada service schools using factory-approved methods and equipment and genuine Ford parts for all Ford of Canada products. Join the thousands of car owners who take their cars back home for service to their Ford Monarch dealer or their Mercury Lincoln Meteor dealer.
Sunday night, and here comes Fred Allen speeding down Main Street in his new Ford to keep his weekly date. As Fred stops to lock his Ford, he hears a voice say,
Mr. Allen!
Jane Portland, gee whiz, will you? Say, Portland, tell me, what are you doing with that piece of chalk?
Oh, I've been writing on all the buildings.
Writing? Writing what?
Next Sunday, the Fred Allen program will be on 1/2 hour earlier.
Did you write that Horace Heidt will be on at 7 o'clock in the big number one spot? I'm still in the money. I'm in the show play. The little number three spot, coming in winded, but coming in hard.
Yes, I wrote that.
Well, that's swell.
After all these years, it's going to seem funny on Sunday night without Jack Benny.
Yes, it is. You know, it always seems funnier without Benny than it is with him.
Is Jack really as stingy as they say?
Benny is tighter than a little boy's lips around a lollipop, Portland. You know that Benny even has pockets sewed on his bare skin?
Why should Jack have pockets sewed on his skin?
Well, in case Benny ever finds anything on the floor of a Turkish bath, he'll have some place to put it. Say, I can't fool around tonight, Portland. I'm going to be on a Theater Guild program a little later.
Won't you be out of place with the Theater Guild?
Oh, of course. They anticipate that. But once a year, the Guild puts me on to give their subscribers a loyalty test.
What is the Theater Guild like?
Well, I can only tell you one thing about the Theater Guild, Portland. The janitor at the Guild wears a monocle.
Do you have to rush over there now?
No, I still have a few minutes. I think I'll get a paper, Portland.
May I tag along?
Sure, come on. Let's take a walk down Main Street. Come on.
All right. What does the paper say?
Well, I've got the wrong page. These are the help wanted ads. Here, look.
Wanted. Stage delicatessen. Knish washer.
Knish washer, that's some job, isn't it? I wonder what does was would do if it was confronted with a knish. Say, I'd like to see does and a knish going at it. Here's an item, Portland. Look at this. Snow in New York City finally cleared. Last week's storm was the third worst snowstorm ever experienced by the city of New York.
I wonder what was the worst snowstorm anyone has ever seen.
Who knows? Let's ask some people now as we're walking along Main Street. This man coming with the live sturgeon wiggling under his arm. Pardon me, brother.
Whom are you calling, brother? I am Boris Shashley, goodwill ambassador from the Soviet government.
You are the goodwill ambassador?
Russia is trying to cement friendly relations.
And you?
I am here buying the cement. Okay.
Well, tell me, Boris. Boris, confidentially, is that the energine I smell on your breath?
It is vodka. I am drinking a communist martini.
A communist martini?
It is straight vodka.
Straight vodka?
Instead of an olive, you are dropping in the vodka the Adam's apple of a reactionary.
Boris, I didn't know that you drank.
Well, this week is Stalin's 69th birthday. In Russia, everybody is drinking. It is compulsory.
Did you give Mr. Stalin a party?
He has got a party.
Well, did you give him a present?
I am sending Lend-Lease, a singing cablegram.
A singing cablegram?
Happy birthday to you, Joe. Our best wishes to you go. At 69, you've still got glamour. So, Joe, keep swinging with your hammer. And sickle, 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 sickle.
About our question. question. What is the worst snowstorm you have ever seen?
In Russia, Stalin has stopped the snow.
He doesn't want snow?
Snow is making too many white Russians.
But Boris...
You bore me. Long live the doorman at the Kretschmar.
So long, Boris. Gosh, Main Street sure seems quiet tonight, Boris. Yeah? What are you laughing at?
The sign in the restaurant window.
Sign in the restaurant?
Wanted. Right. Teaser.
Rice teaser? What is a rice teaser?
When you want wild rice...
Yeah?
The rice teaser teases the plain rice until it gets wild.
He does? Could have taken that a half a tone lower, I think. Say, look who's at the Mickey Mouse... Look who's looking at the Mickey Mouse watch in the jewelry store window there. The
Titus Moody.
Hi, Mr. Moody. Howdy, bub. Tell me, Mr. Moody, what is the worst snowstorm you have ever seen?
Why, the big fall of 92 took the prize, I guess.
The big fall of 92, eh?
Yeah, it snowed for 37 straight days.
Gosh.
The weatherman committed suicide.
He did? Were you on the farm?
Miss Moody and me were snowed in.
Oh, really?
Snow was up over the top of the house.
Say.
For 8 days, we didn't have nothing to eat.
Uh-huh.
We were slowly starving to death.
Starving to death, eh?
We just kept sitting there staring at each other.
For eight days, you sat staring at Mrs. Moody?
The ninth day, my mouth began to water.
Titus, you weren't turning cannibal.
I was, but I was afraid to eat Miss Moody.
Why?
I knew she wouldn't agree with me.
What finally happened?
Why, I went out to get some milk.
With everything buried in the snow?
Yeah, I come to where I thought the cows was.
Yeah.
I set my pail down.
Uh-huh.
I reached in under the snow and I started milking.
Yeah.
I must have milked away for, 20 minutes.
Good for you.
I drug out my pail.
Yes.
Pail was full of water.
Water?
I wasn't milking no cow.
You mean for 20 minutes?
I was pulling the pump handle. So long, Buck.
So long, everybody. Come on, Portland. It's too cold to look in that frozen food store.
Duckley!
It was so cold in there, it closed up the O in the frozen store. Zero disappeared in the frozen.
Don't we know this little woman coming out of the town hall?
We certainly do. Mrs. Nussbaum.
So who is flighting a masher? Oh, it's you.
Ah, Mrs. Nussbaum. I just saw you coming out of the town hall.
Yes, I'm buying tickets. Tomorrow night is a hootenanny.
Oh, really? What is a hootenanny?
It's a singing hillbillies.
Hillbillies?
Also is dancing squares.
Oh, squares. Square dancing, huh?
Yes, it is going like this. Chase the possum. Chase the lamb. Chase that pretty girl. Catch her, Sam.
Oh.
Swing your partner. Let her go. All hands bend for the do-si schmo.
Oh, I've heard that. Very good. Tell me, what are your favorite hillbilly songs?
Bury me not on the prairie, I will be lonely.
Yes, I've heard that.
The Chisel Trail.
The old Chisel Trail, yeah.
Jimmy Crack Cohen.
Girl Hives, tell me, Mrs. Nussbaum, what is the worst storm you ever remember?
The year I'm getting married.
Oh, really? There was a bad storm?
Zero is below.
Oh, holy.
Outside is a gizzard.
Outside is a gizzard.
People like poppy seeds are dropping in the snow.
Well, didn't this terrible storm frighten you?
The wind is howling.
Yes.
I am laughing.
You are out in this raging storm laughing?
Who is out in the raging storm?
You,
I am seeing it in the newsreels.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh, I see. Good night, Mrs. Nussbaum. Gosh, Portland, you know, after meeting all these characters on Main Street, I often wonder whatever became of all the normal people.
Well, you haven't found out much about the worst snowstorms, have you?
Nothing up to now. It's been a waste of time. Well, I'll try one more passerby. This little man running along with his green muffler flying. Hi, John.
Stop, I can't stop tonight, me boy.
Hey, Jax Cassidy.
Stop, I'm in a terrible rush. I got to get home. I got company.
Well, the company can wait.
No, this is the telephone company. They've taken out me telephone.
Well, I'll make this fast, Ajax. What was the worst storm you ever remember?
Me boy, today is the coldest day in me recollection.
Really?
And I just come from the coldest place in the country.
The coldest place?
Kerrigan's Cozy Corner.
Well, how cold is it in Kerrigan's?
Well, now, I don't know the temperature, but when I left, everyone in the place was stiff. Goodbye, you boys.
So long, Jack. Well, let's go. Let's go, Portland.
Let's stop at the music store a minute.
Music store, why?
The man is just going to demonstrate a new record.
Oh, the man in the window. What record? What record?
It's A Little Bird Told Me, played by Al Goodman and his orchestra, and sung by the five DeMarco sisters.
The record is just starting.
A little bird told me we'd get a sweet, sweet, and I believe that it's true. A little bird told me we'd be married, and I believe that it's true. This little bird told me when we marry, we'll have a pretty cottage not too far, all fenced in like a movie star. Great day pup will call a mate, lying there by the fireplace, goldfish pine and wishing well, everything is gonna turn out swell. A little bird told me we'd be happy, and I'll sure say, I tell you I love that bird.
Well, Portland, this is my corner. Do you want to come over to the Theater Guild with me?
No, I have to get Mama some Chinese chewing gum.
Really? What is Chinese chewing gum?
Bubble sub gum.
Bubble sub gum. Well, after that, Portland, you had better pick up the egg foo yong and be on your way.
Good night.
Good night. Well, I better get going. Say, this man with the moose hide briefcase coming out of the radio station looks familiar.
Hello, friend.
Dr. Rockwell. I saw him. Doc, I saw you coming out of the radio station. Are you back acting again?
No, Fred. I'm still a lawyer. I was called in on a big legal conference.
Oh, somebody else going over to the other network?
Oh, no, Fred. This was a big police case.
A police case?
Yeah, I was called in to fix a parking ticket for Mr. District Attorney. It was a cinch, Fred. I took it right to the juvenile jury.
Juvenile jury, huh?
I pulled a few strings.
And what happened?
The kid's play suits fell off.
Well, Carol, you have to be careful pulling strings around. Tell me, Doc, how are you doing as a lawyer?
Great, Fred. You know, I've got my own office up in Maine. Here's my card.
Card? This is a square piece of fur.
Well, that's my winter card, Fred. The fur keeps your hands warm while you're reading.
Oh, I see. Well, what is this, beaver skin?
Yep, you've got to be careful, Fred. I got a fresh batch of cards last week. One of my cards bit a man.
The card?
It was a Niger beaver.
Oh, a Niger beaver. Doc, if your law office is up in Maine, what are you doing down here in the city?
Well, I'm representing a client, the Acme Calendar Company.
Oh, I see.
I'm placing the order for Acme's new 1952 calendar.
1952? Doc, next year is 1949.
I know, Fred, but Maine is Republican. The next year we're interested in is 1952.
Tell me, Doc, what is Maine going to do for the next 4 years?
Well, we were going to change the name of Maine to Lower Quebec and join up with Canada. But, after looking over the national scene, we figured things wouldn't be so bad.
What things?
Well, take taxes. This year, you've got community property.
Say, I've heard, what is that community property, Doc?
Well, it means your wife gets half your salary. That's an improvement right away.
An improvement?
Yeah, in the old days, a man's wife got all his salary.
Oh, I see what you mean, right.
And besides that, you've got capital gains.
I'd say, what is that capital gains, Doc?
Oh, it's simple, Fred. A man sets himself up as a corporation.
Yeah.
Then he goes on the stock market and sells shares in himself.
A man sells himself like stock.
Yeah, that's right. His head is one block of stock, for example. His arms and legs are another block. His chest and stomach are a third.
Well, wait a minute, Doc. If you sell your head, your arms, your legs, your stomach, and your chest, What do you have left for yourself?
Well, you still have your seat on the exchange.
Do you really think humanity is making progress?
Well, in spots, Fred. You know, any day you're going to see socialized medicine.
Free medical treatment? You think it's going to work?
Well, I don't know, Fred. If the politicians take over medicine, it's going to be a shambles.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, suppose the Democrats are in power.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm a Republican.
You're a Republican.
Yeah, now, I get sick. I go to the government free clinic, a big marble building.
Yes?
In the main waiting room, there's two doors. One door marked men, the other door marked women. I go in the men's door.
Naturally.
Now, I come out in another big room. There's two more doors. One's marked old men, the other's marked young men. I go through the young men's door.
Naturally.
Now, there's still another big room with two more doors. One door says Republicans, the other door says Democrats.
Yes?
I go through the Republican door.
And?
Find myself right out in the street.
With socialized medicine, there are going to be a lot of sick Republicans, Doc. But solving all the nation's problems, so when do you have time, you know, to take care of your law practice?
Well, my small cases I turn over to Mr. Anthony.
Oh, do you
really? The big ones I handle myself. I just finished a tough case yesterday.
A tough case? What was it?
Why, my client, Jake Eigen...
Yes?
An old 96-year-old man. 96 years old, was arrested for shoplifting in a hay and grain store.
Shoplifting?
Yeah, they caught Jake with his hand in an oat bin, but I got him off. I proved Jake wasn't shoplifting. He was just feeling his oats.
Doc, I'd like to see you trying one of those cases up in Maine.
Well, you got to know all the tricks, Fred. Now, like last week, I had a case. As I walked into the courtroom...
Yeah.
Rise, rubes. His honor, the judge.
Hey,
yes. Order in the court. Order in the court here. Now, let me see. First case, the town of Gopher Girls versus Nemo Hatch. And the charge is M-I-R-D, murder. Charge is murder. Order in the court. Order in the court. Nemo Hatch to the bar.
Yeah, come in, Judge.
Nemo, charge here says you shot unto the death one Thurber Tuttle. Now, are you guilty or not guilty, Nemo?
Well, I ain't too bright, Judge. As a boy, I was called Puddin' on account of my head.
Well, stand down, Nemo.
Yeah.
Call your first witness, Lawyer Rockwell.
Clem Pratt to the bar.
Yeah, come in. Come in. Come
now, Clem.
Don't talk too fast. There's a dent in my ear trumpet. I keep getting an echo.
All right. I'll talk slow.
No, I don't think it'll snow.
Hold on, Rockwell, don't get Clem going. Getting conversation into Clem's ear trumpet is like trying to get a pillow into a milk bottle.
All right, watch it.
Watch it.
I don't hear nothing. Anybody talking?
Well, I'd better test your trumpet, Clem. Testing. 1, 2, 3, woof, woof.
Roger.
Clem, trouble is, keep your trumpet up. Keep your trumpet up while we're going through the case. Keep up with your trumpet.
I'm on the beam.
All right, he's on the beam. Now, let's go, Rockwell.
All right. Now, Clem, you're the proprietor of the Prairie Plaza Hotel.
I be.
Now, what happened the morning of the murder?
Why, Thurber Tuttle was going to marry Googie Goslin in the lobby.
Of the hotel?
I was downstairs painting his and hers on a roller towel. When Nemo Hatch, he come busting in.
And Nemo's the town dentist.
Nemo was carrying a shotgun. He asked me for Thurber's room number, and then he went upstairs.
Your suspicions weren't aroused when you saw Nemo carrying a shotgun?
I thought maybe it was part of the ceremony.
Yeah, what? what happened then?
5 minutes later, I heard a shot.
Ah, a shot, eh?
I run upstairs to Thurber's room.
And what did you find?
Nemo was standing there with his shotgun smoking. And Thurber was sprawled on the floor, dead.
I ain't too bright, but I can explain.
Now, order in the court. Hush your fuss, Nemo. You'll spoil the whole trial. Give everything away. Quiet up. Now, Clem. Clem.
Is it a giveaway program?
No, Clem, no. This is the law. You're in with the law, Clem. Something legal now. Now, Clem, when you found Thurber was dead, what'd you do?
I hung out my vacancy sign and called the sheriff.
Nice work, Clem. Stand down. Stand down.
Stand down, Clem.
Get down. Get down. Help him down.
I hear trumpet. I could hear more through a shoehorn. I don't
tell him to get down. Get down, Clem. Get down. Help him hand him his trumpet. They can't hear nothing. Next witness, Rockwell.
Sheriff Pruitt to the bar.
Make way for the law. Stand back, rubes. I'm spinning my billy.
Sheriff, where were you when Clem called?
I was dragging the St. Bernard dog into the station house.
Arresting a dog?
Well, the St. Bernard was carrying a jug of liquor and he didn't have no license.
Sheriff, what did you do when you got the call?
Give the St. Bernard a bone so he wouldn't go away. Then I ran down to the Prairie Plaza Hotel.
And what did you find?
Herbert been killed while shaving. He was using an electric razor.
Electric razor, say?
First, I thought the thing was a snake. I beat it over the head with my billy till it stopped buzzing.
Just for the record, Sheriff, where was Thurber shot?
I looked all over. I couldn't find no bullet hole.
No bullet hole, you say?
And when you couldn't find any bullet hole, Sheriff, what did you do?
I arrested Nemo Hatch, and then I called Googie Gossett and told her the wedding was off.
Now stand down, Sheriff.
Give me room, Rubes. I'm spinning my billy.
Stop showing off. Stop.
Anything happened yet?
No, nothing happened yet, Clem. Tell Clem nothing's happened yet. Proceed, Rockwell. Next witness.
Googie Goslin to the bar.
I'm a widow, for I'm a bride, Judge. It's nerve-wracking. I'm just flutter-ducking around.
Well, we can see that.
Googie, when did you first meet the deceased, Thurber Tupper?
Well, I was taking mail order singing lessons. Thurber was the mailman.
And you were in love with Thurber.
Thurber had a dimple you could hide a rutabaga in. He had two big buck teeth. Thurber always looked like he was just spitting out his chiclets.
Tell me, Googie, was Thurber in love with you?
Well, we used to sing duets together.
Did he propose?
One twilight we was harmonizing, "You never miss your mother till she's gone," when Thurber says to me, "Googie, I'm only a mailman, but how about you and me playing post office till death do us part?"
And you accepted.
Counselor, I was so happy I cried in Thurber's mailbag and opened three letters.
You was all set to marry Thurber, Googie, eh?
I'd be Mrs. Thurber Tuttle today if it wasn't for that jealous dentist, Nemo Hatch.
Yeah?
Look at me, Judge, in my wedding gown. I'm all dressed up and no place to go.
Well, you can use your wedding corsage for the funeral, Googie. Stand down.
Thank you, Judge. Want justice.
You'll get it. You'll get it in sections. Next witness, Lawyer Rockwell.
Nemo Hatch to the bar.
Hey, Judge, I'm as innocent as a man with a stiff leg of the crap, Dane.
Now, Nemo, Googie says you were jealous. Is that true?
Well, I ain't charged her for no dental work in 10 years. She's only got two teeth of her own. Every other tooth in her head belongs to me. She's even wearing my elk's tooth.
Well, if you were in love with Googie, why didn't you propose to her?
Well, I was a dentist, but I couldn't get up my nerve. And then last week, Thurber Tuttle come in.
Thurber?
He says, "Nemo, you gotta straighten my buck teeth. Every time I kiss Googie, I gnaw a hole in her veil."
What did you do?
Well, I gave myself a shot of Novocaine to numb my feelings, and then I put a brace on Thurber's teeth.
Now, Nemo, Clem Pratt testified you was at the Prairie Plaza Hotel with a shotgun on the morning of the murder.
Well, I was on my way bobcat hunting, Judge, when I heard about the wedding.
Oh, and you went to the hotel?
I went in to collect what Thurber owed me before he and Googie got hitched.
Yeah?
Well, went up to his room, asked for my money. Thurber started bunting me.
Bunting you, eh?
As he was pushing me through the door, my gun went off.
And the bullet hit Thurber, did it?
No, the sheriff said there weren't no bullet hole in Thurber, Judge. I couldn't have killed him.
Well, somebody killed him. Somebody else was in Thurber's room for you, Nemo.
Somebody was, Judge.
You hinting, Nemo?
I found this fur business card on Thurber's table.
A fur business card? Whose card is it?
Lawyer Rockwell.
Lawyer Rockwell. Order in the court. Lawyer Rockwell. Lawyer Rockwell, you was in the murdered man's room before he was murdered?
I was there on business, Judge. I was making arrangement for Thurber's wedding.
Wedding?
Yes, I'm justice of the peace on the side.
Oh.
I was seeing if Thurber wanted my 750 wedding or my 1050 wedding.
What's the difference?
Well, with my 750 wedding, after I marry the couple, I sing, "Oh, Promise Me."
And with your 1050?
I don't sing, "Oh, Promise."
Yes.
Which wedding did Thurber settle on?
Why, he took my big economy size wedding at $22.50.
Yeah, what happens for $22.50?
The married couple is covered by the Florsheim clause.
The Florsheim clause?
Yes, if the bride and groom are hit by old shoes, they can collect.
Oh, well, after you signed Thurber for the big economy size wedding, Rockwell,
I took my $22.50, gave Thurber a receipt and left.
Oh, say, looks to me like this whole trial's been a waste of time. There's no bullet hole in the body. Nobody can't prove nothing. Looks like Nemo Hatch is innocent.
Hold on, Judge. Nemo Hatch is guilty.
Guilty of what?
Murder.
Say, now, order, quiet. Now, Rockwell, if Nemo Hatch shot Thurber Tuttle, where's the bullet hole?
There isn't any bullet hole, Judge.
Then how did Nemo kill Thurber, Smarty?
Here, right here, Judge. I call your attention to Exhibit A, this gift card.
Yeah?
Yes, sir, this gift card was in the box the electric razor came in.
Yeah?
On the card it says, Thurber, you won, Googie, but it was a close shave. And that card is signed Nemo.
Nemo gave Thurber the electric razor for wedding present, eh?
Yes, sir. And here's Exhibit B, this piece of copper wire.
Yeah?
This is the brace that Nemo, the dentist, put on Thurber's buck teeth. Not steel, not platinum, but copper wire.
Yeah?
Nemo knew that with buck teeth, Thurber had a short upper lip.
Yeah?
And Nemo knew that when Thurber shaved his upper lip,
yeah,
the electric razor would touch that copper wire on Thurber's brace.
And when the electric razor touched the copper brace,
Thurber electrocuted himself.
Now, what do you...
No. Yes, sir. The plot worked, and Nemo Hatch is guilty of murder. Well, John?
Rockwell, seems to me like the whole mess is Thurber's fault.
Thurber's fault?
Thurber was sparking another fella's girl. He's bound to get it in the end.
But what about Nemo?
He's gonna get it in the other end. Court's adjourned.
Now, when kiddies are enjoying Christmas holidays, watch out. Drive safely. Safe driving calls for keeping your car in top operating condition. And your Ford of Canada dealer is staffed and equipped to give your car the kind of attention and service that keeps it that way. So always take your car back home for service to your Ford Monarch dealer or your Mercury Lincoln Meteor dealer. And now, before we say goodnight, be sure to listen next week at the new time, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, when we again bring you the Fred Allen Show and Fred's special guest, Burt Lancaster. This is Alan McPhee speaking for your Ford of Canada dealers and on their behalf wishing you a Happy New Year. This is the Trans-Canada Network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.